376, authorize a grant agreement to accept $25,000 from Drive Oregon Foundation to support low-cost air quality sensor work and air quality sensor project in the Powell Division Corridor.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Ken Martin with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I manage the Smart Cities team there, as well as supporting Smart Cities work across the city.
Your microphone's not on.
Sorry.
Should I repeat myself, or
yes,
did you
please.
All get that? Okay. My name is Kevin Martin. I'm with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I manage the Smart Cities team there, as well as supporting bureaus across the city with their Smart Cities work. I'm here with Christine Kendrick, who's on my who's on the BPS Smart Cities team and leading a national conversation around the design, deployment, and evaluation of low-cost, real-time, internet-connected air quality sensors. Which we are about to start piloting here in Portland. Christine will give a quick overview of the project referenced in item 376.
Morning, almost morning. Afternoon, Mayor, City Commissioners. The funds in this ordinance are to support an ongoing project being led by the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. It's a project funded by the National Institute of Standards and Technology, where we are going to be deploying three different types of lower-cost air quality sensors that are connected at signalized intersections. The idea and goals of this project are to understand how this technology can be used to increase the density of air quality measurements for the city of Portland, to understand how we can use these technologies to better understand the changes in air quality and climate as a result of other city of Portland projects. And the goals of these funds are also to develop a community engagement plan about how to share the data, how would we expand to other locations past this pilot project. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for
So was this poll just to tell people about it?
I'm
Mr.
not sure
Lightman
why
it pulled it.
Okay, very good. Any public testimony on this item?
Mr. Bridge Crane wants to testify.
Very good. Come on up, sir.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. And thank you. I hope that the city will take this very seriously. We know that the state, by some reports, is facing a $1.6 billion revenue shortfall. It's no bueno for the Department of Environmental Quality. Many of us have severe doubts and concerns about the Department of Environmental Quality. So I think that it's actually incumbent upon you, Commissioners, perhaps with a little kick in the keister from the public, to talk about new air quality public health safety structure. So this is a good start, but I hope you'll be positioned to move quickly. It's the technology that's here should be cost-effective to place in all the neighborhood community centers. And, you know, we could always wish that when our tax dollars go to Washington and come back, or go to Salem and come back, that we can do good with them when they come back. But we're learning, at least for the next 4 years, that we really sometimes have to seize the initiative like we've done with the biogas project. And so I hope that all of you, regardless of how it matches with your portfolio as commissioners, will look at this project. And even if you only think about your home neighborhood, because God knows we want clean air around your house, Ted, if we ever have to come visit you again. So with the crisis we've had with the DEQ, the fact that it was the United States Forest Service, almost independent work studying moss, that led us to learn about the toxins from gas glass plants in our city. This is a great opportunity for city leadership on an even smaller micro-community scale to let people participate in and be engaged with what's killing us in our air. Because there are things, you know, we've failed on the state level to deal with diesel particulates as far as banning, but we can at least know and develop an open data network that affirms where the problem is the worst and see what action can be taken on the municipal government level. Thank you.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for the presentation and for your good work. Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. Next item, please.
Item 381, authorized chief of police to sign lease agreements of real property for Police Bureau criminal investigation needs.
Good morning. Almost. Name
Thank
for the
you,
record,
Mayor.
Please.
And Council. My name is Dave Hendry. I'm a commander with Portland Police Bureau in the Detective Division, and today we're bringing forth an ordinance that would allow the Chief of Police to sign lease agreements for real property in the city. How this came about is my recent move in, I guess would be July of this year, into the Detective Division, looking at some of the ongoing long-term cases, criminal cases that we had. I started reviewing the need to actually have long-term ability to lease real property for confidential investigations that are going forth. And then upon reviewing it, I thought we had the authority to do that, and I realized, no, we do not have the authority to do that, and it runs through a very kind of an arduous task to get it approved, and it has to be approved outside of our bureau chain, which in our confidential investigations brought some concerns to light, namely in any investigation, you try to keep the investigation and those who know about the facts of it fairly well contained in order to keep the confidentiality of it and the integrity of the investigation. And in this case, in reviewing what would happen to happen, it would leave our office and obviously fall through and ultimately be signed off through multiple folks, including the Director of Internal Business Services. And so we decided that we would like to put forth an ordinance that would allow the Chief of Police to be able to do that and keep it in-house, protects the confidentiality, and the need for the long-term lease. There's a timeliness factor there with our investigations when we need to have a place to put something up. Sometimes it's immediate. And there's also considerable cost savings in the long term, as we're well aware with the markets here for housing and for retail space, that the ability to actually have a lease agreement saves the city a considerable amount of money, specifically our bureau, versus doing daily or weekly rates for rentals. So that's the sum of why we're here today.
Thank you. Questions? Any public testimony on this item, Carla?
Yes, we have 15 people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Mimi Gurman, Cameron Stark.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Lightning. He's left. Let's go with Nancy Newell then.
Cameron, you want to start?
Sure.
One moment. So, are you?
I've got.
Okay, we're going to lose our quorum. So can I ask people to please be, and I'm really sorry about this. I don't like limiting public testimony, but again, we had a disruption, so we're way off schedule.
Wow.
Can we please limit to 2 minutes? Thank you.
All right. My name is Cameron Stark, and I'm a resident of Portland, Oregon. I don't agree that we should be giving police informants maybe even a hotel room to stay in under these leasing this leasing agreement. I think that given the relationship that the Portland police have with informants and that they have with the community in the past, and I mean, we were just talking about last week how that there's a lack of accountability in the Portland police system. How are we sure that some of these officers in these projects aren't sexually exploiting these informants? I mean, there is a huge compiling evidence that they do, you know, these horrible things. You know, some of the Oregon Democrats, I know that Terry Bean, and I know some of his victims personally, were sexually exploited by the state of Oregon. So I think that these leasing agreements make those easier for the Portland police and whatever other jurisdictions of law enforcement that you're trying to, you know, implement with this. That it's a dangerous precedent that you can set forth. I think that it's not safe. Messing with informants in the first place is just egregious. I used to live in Seattle, Washington, and an officer up there told me that they lock their criminals up in Washington. Okay, that means that here in Oregon, we don't lock our criminals up. We use them as informants. That's what those kids with the ankle monitors are doing. That is not
safe. When it comes to community safety, that should be the number one concern and priority. And if you have informants staying in apartment complexes like the Columbia Villa or the St. John's Woods or something like that, that it creates dangerous, you know, it's a dangerous precedent. And I don't agree with it. I don't think that it's safe, and I don't think that it's morally right to even use informants in the first place. Thank you.
Thank you.
I agree. Oh, no, you go. I agree with what Cameron said. The best way for me to express myself at this point, I've said this a couple of council sessions ago, is through poetry, because this back and forth conversing in minutes is too hard to say what I want to say, and this is specific to this issue. I wrote a poem for today, and it's called Crayola in Shades of White. May or may I challenge you to a duel with no guns or informants, or tasers, or flashbangs, or billy clubs. No tear gas, no pepper spray, no nerve gas at all. No bike cops, no riot cops, no cops at all. No checks or credit cards, no money at all. This duel is a shakedown of ideas, using words like seeds, sown into hillsides, growing truths instead of flowers, compassion instead of stones, where uninhabited promises and blue blood debauchery are surely a recipe to lose this battle, this duel. This duel to end the uninspired, anemic protocol, this business as usual, and the perverse standardized norm of unconstitutionality, which paints this town in Caucasian white, straight out of the Crayola crayon box, where politicians are almond or peach or KKK or desert sand, suffocating our kids along with a reserve bottle of privilege circa long, long ago, because white wealth creates ill health, you know, shitstorms, Mayor, for the less than white. Mostly, and dollars in the pockets of cops, of jailers, of hangmen on LRAD, of mayors like you, Mr. Wheeler. This duel is about now, because if there is a later, it is indiscernible. So let us duel in truths known to the downtrodden, not the rich, in truths met on the streets, atop sewer gutters where steam is the only warmth for a truth so cold it killed 6 or 7 or 100 this winter, in our little hamlet of lily white dreams for white homeowners angered by homeless people bothering them for change. I challenge you, Mayor, to a duel of truth. Will you meet me in the streets?
Thank you.
My name is Nancy Newell.
Oh, thank you. My name is Nancy Newell, and I'm really opposed to this because it shouldn't be even on the agenda. It's not constitutional. It is making the police judge and jury. They take the power of being judge and jury. Ever since COAB has been collapsed, and you were in favor of that idea, and actually told us that you didn't think it had any function whatsoever, the police have become very aggressive on taking away the rights of individual citizens. And it's been proven, and it will be proven in this case as well. And it wastes a lot of our time. Instead of facing the issues that originally came up from a federal judge and is still in process, where the mentally ill are being killed in this city. And a third one happened not too long ago. So let's get back to the base of the issue. The community voices have been tremendous. We have a county commissioner who was part of that process, trying to work with her budget, the largest in the county, to help the mentally ill situation. And let's get off this track of the police insisting that they're the only judge and jury in this town. This town is not allowed to become a town like that. We are not going to allow it. And I don't know why they want to spend all this money for a building when they're not even upholding the Constitution or the law. Why would we give them a building to hide all the people that are innocent? That's terrible. What an indicator of our chief's mental state. I think you better have him checked. And I'm serious about that. He is not making sense at all. He is not talking about humanity. He's talking about an orderly situation, which we know about under Hitler. And we don't care for that kind of policy. And we don't want that kind of policy. And we will stand our ground every time. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next three are Star Stauffer, Charles Bridgecrane Johnson, and Teresa Rayford.
I'm Star Stauffer. I'm really confused. I don't know why the Portland police need more stuff. It's like every single week that I come here, the police are asking for more stuff. I thought we were having a housing crisis. I thought we were in the middle of a crisis where we had no place to even house the houseless. And here we've got the police asking for more stuff. What was it, a few weeks ago, bullets, which you never readdressed. And then it was, before that, the collective bargaining agreement, which they beat the hell out of us to win, and they were successful. And now it's, they want to lease buildings so that they can hide for investigations and so the informants can hide? No. Oh, no. We will find these buildings. We will tell everybody where they are. We will release the addresses of these buildings. We will let the neighbors know, whatever it takes, to let them know that killers are living next door to them. Mm-hmm. That child killers are leasing properties next door to them.
Rapists,
everybody who's a sex offender has to let everybody know when they are living next door to people. So I want everybody to know that murderers, racists, Klan leaders,
rapists,
liars, criminals, and thugs that you sanction on the streets to unleash their fury on people of color, trans people, houseless people, and protesters exercising their rights. I want everybody to know that they are next door. So wherever they lease, we will find out. Wherever they buy, we will find out. And we will tell everybody. And we will make sure that they are not comfortable enacting these investigations behind these closed doors. Not on my dollar. They're not going to get away with it on my dollar. I'm not going to pay for it and not tell everybody what the hell's going on. I don't know what game you guys think you're playing, but not with us. Don't give these fools any more money. I'm sick and tired of watching you shell out money to these criminals. No for the $2 million for bullets. No for the leasing of properties. And they can go to hell with their collective bargaining agreement.
Good afternoon.
Want to follow that up?
Okay.
Good morning. Good morning, Charles Bridge Crane. I got a green light, so it's going, I guess. Bridge Crane Johnson.
Bridge Crane.
And Ms. Stauffer has really summed up the ethical and moral reasons why you should just vote no. But some people would say those aren't persuasive here, so I'll go with a more pragmatic argument. Look at the page of information you've been given from the police department. And try and convince your voters that that was an adequate motivation for you to write. It's apparently a blank check. There's no dollar figure in the piece of paper. I don't know whether, are we going to have a Trump hotel here? And we're going to have people go into the police permanent Trump suite and get the Mary and Barry treatment? It's just not practical. You know, inside public housing, there are different views about residents have about interacting with the police. I know people right now in Northwest Towers that would like to have a permanent police presence. You should sublet, you should send, transfer some money from the police bureau into the housing bureau or Home Forward and give people who are concerned about lawbreaking and danger there protection rather than some roaming racket where we're finally going to get the heroin kingpin only if we can lease an apartment in the yard or in the dumbbell or the bridgehead, that Death Star monster thing there. I just think that fiduciary duty requires you to get more clarity from the police bureau that even though they need to have these super top secret addresses, that there can be caps. And you also need to really review the ineffectiveness of previous confidential informants. Mm-hmm. Confidential informants who would be in Kansas City phoning in their fake leads, like George Thomas, George Taylor. So especially the police commissioner would be wise to advise the rest of the council to not pass this at this time until Marshman, who's just re-gearing up from his little vacation, to provide actual dollar figures, some caps, some floors, and some real outcomes for this mysterious BUHA measure. That is an interesting replacement for the $2 million of ammunition they're not getting,
Thank
hopefully.
You.
For the record, my name is Teresa Rayford. I'm a native Oregonian. I am the mother of two children. One of those children was born to me when I was 17 years old, and I was living in foster care. His dad was a 27-year-old gang member from California that was working with other informants in our community, which I found out recently after the death of my friend Darren Ezell, who was killed by this murderer, who is now free because our district attorney felt like there might be bigger fish to fry. His name is Vincent White. You can Google him. Him and two of his friends murdered my friend. But because there were informants, along with other informants, that actually got some of my friends pregnant while they were also in foster care and used the opportunity to be informants for, I don't know which ones were federal agents and which ones were just gang task force from California working in partnership with Portland Police Bureau, but those informants basically infested our entire community. At the time when gang members came here in the 80s, a lot of us didn't know about gang violence. We still were going to Meyer and Franks and Nordstrom's and Frederick and Nelson's for our clothes. We were wearing penny loafers. We weren't wearing tennis shoes and Dickies. But after the Portland police and the city of Portland decided that they need to focus on gangs, which they didn't have any, but they created the opportunity. And I believe that with leasing property, you had this informant, gang person, pimp, Eddie, Fast Eddie, who was working with Roy J, who was actually one of the members on the PDC, along with a lot of other black people that you guys are very familiar with, and I know Dan probably knows them too. But those people could be considered informants as well, like Roy J, when he used to pull guns out on people like Ken Berry and Donnie Adair, who was a former employee here at the city of Portland, back in those days when he was a gangster, before he became a very role model of our community with Project Clean Slate and other gang-related opportunities. I just think you guys need to audit this thought. I think you guys need to think about what could happen to the community, the most vulnerable people, when you allow that type of leasing to happen in our community. I remember when my friend who lives right across the street from Rosemary Anderson, M, this lady who's been shot twice because her grandson was affected by gangs. She lives on Borthwick. She got shot twice. I remember in the 90s when she said that the police kept coming to her house because they had a camera going right into her kitchen because they were using the house right next door to her. They told her that if she did not sell her house, and we already know lots of the deputized officers from 25 years ago used to be in construction and development, but they told her if she did not sell her house that they would take her grandson to jail and he would never get out because of Measure 11. I think you guys really need to rethink this, because if the vulnerable children in our community can come infested with gang opportunities, because these informants are usually the ones with the drugs and the guns and all that other stuff and the motivation for pimping these young girls in these strip clubs and getting the okay from their foster parents, I think you guys might want to think about it. I think we've been saying a lot about it for a very long time, but your stakeholders' voices matter more than ours. Thank you.
Next three, please.
Next three are Chanel Hart, Shayla Franklin, and Alex de Blasi. Three people.
Good afternoon.
Y'all can go first. No, y'all can go first. Go ahead.
I do think we would have had more time if we hadn't had that stupid little costume party earlier. But here we are with 2 minutes to go. Maybe next week I can bring in a Chuck Berry impersonator and hog testimony until we get to an important agenda item. So first up, how on earth does this establish or build trust between the community and the police? This has been talked about a lot in the previous weeks, and then along comes this. Two. In the ordinance's impact statement, it says, quote, utilizing leases of real property will have a significant savings to the city on long-term investigations. Despite this, the impact statement says that this will not change appropriations. How is that possible? Third, I believe that this is state terrorism and is going to create a culture of fear in our community that a house that's for sale, an apartment unit that's up for lease, could very well be inhabited by infiltrators from law enforcement. Kind of reminds me of that Twilight Zone episode, The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street, where a community is divided in half due to a lack of trust. That you're doing this during a housing crisis is straight up immoral. You should be cracking down on human trafficking. You should be keeping cops in hotels, not going into residential units. That said, I will greet my new neighbors with a plate of cookies and a plate of cheese. And if they go for the cheese first, I'll know where they're coming from. 14 weeks in, Mr. Wheeler, you're no humanitarian. You stole your campaign platforms from the best of your competitors, including Jesse Sponberg, talking about police reform and caring about the homeless. You're showing us that you don't care. And if you won't resign, then maybe we should look into a recall vote. That's all.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Shalva Franklin, and I go to Allison Middle School, and I just wanted to talk to you about that. I don't like the idea of having cops just parking around because it's really scary for, like, us people with, like, colored people because we don't know what to expect. Well, we do know what to expect, but it's just kind of, I don't know, I don't like the idea. So.
Thank you. Appreciate your being here. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Chanel Hart, and I just witnessed my mom being arrested, and I still don't understand what she did because you said, well, he said that my mom was trespassing in a public building. You said that this was a public building, so how was she being?
So
how was she trespassing?
You know, I don't know because I did not see what happened in the hallway.
But you said this is a public building, and he said that she was trespassing. So
however,
how was she trespassing?
In the council, as I just read, we have council rules, and everybody in the room needs to abide by the council rules.
But how was she trespassing?
I give ample warning to people, and if they don't comply, then we have to remove them. Believe me, I don't enjoy doing it. I don't like the disruption. I don't like the time and the inconvenience. And I certainly don't like her being arrested. But if people violate the council rules, that's what we've got going. So unless you have testimony relevant to this issue.
So she was violating the rules, not trespassing, right?
You know, I don't even know who your mom is. Is she the one who was making comments about my wife on her way out of the chamber?
Are you going to discuss that with a child, Ted? Are you going to discuss that with a child?
Well, she's asking me a question, and I'm answering her question.
I was asking why my mom was arrested if she wasn't trespassing.
Okay, I don't know.
Well, maybe you should talk to your security.
Well, listen, is this certainly happy to do that, but is this related to what we're talking about?
She doesn't know how she's going to get home without a parent.
Thank you.
You just made her disabled.
Next three, please.
I have, let's see, Quanis Hayes, Dan Handelman, and Steve Entwistle, Sr.
Greetings.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. And it seems like this ordinance is about officers that can't make a case without entrapment. It seems like if we're having detectives look into cases, they should be able to make a case without lying to the community and posing as other people. And as other people have said, using very limited rental spaces or lease spaces for police work, which could be done in other ways. Also, in terms of accountability, there's nothing in here that says that the commissioner has to sign off on this or approve what's happening. So if there's some kind of shenanigans going on, there's only the police and the police chief are the ones that are saying that this is an okay undercover operation. So I think that it should at least require you as commissioner to have to sign off on these properties if you're going to go through with this. You shouldn't rush things through the council agenda where we're not having long discussions about how it saves money. You can save money by not doing entrapment stings operations at all and using the money in better ways. I just also want to make a quick comment about your new security measures. I understand why you don't want people rushing your dais. I think it would be better for the media, as a member of Flying Focus Video, who taped a council meeting here 2 months ago, to move the desk back so the media can tape the faces of people talking, because right now they can only tape people's backs, and I don't think that's very helpful.
Testimony desk back.
Yeah, I think that would help quite a bit. And then I just lastly, I was expecting amendments to the IPR ordinance. I'm hoping that you're going to consider some. We talked about changing supervisory investigations to non-disciplinary complaints and making it so the IPR ordering a investigation when there's a deadly force case. I hope that you will consider those amendments today when you get to that item.
Very good. Commissioner Fish, do you have an amendment?
Mayor, would you like me to take the emergency call?
Is your microphone on, Commissioner?
I'm sorry.
Would you? I would prefer not to. Going to suggest that we have Officer Henry come back to answer some of the questions that have been offered.
Okay.
Any further public testimony?
No.
Very good. Come on back.
And Mayor, I have some questions which I'm not sure we want to take the time to look in to ask in public today.
Why don't I take the emergency on?
Yes, sir.
Well, what I was going to suggest is we could leave the emergency on, it on, but just carry us over till next week for the vote.
Either way.
Whichever you prefer.
Why don't we just go ahead and carry it over? But did people have questions right now?
We'll have those in the interim.
Okay.
And if I could just tee it up, I guess from you and from the officers, what are the safeguards for the public when there are these undercover assignments? How does the commissioner in charge, the mayor, know about what's going on and give authorization for that? So it's those kinds of questions that I'd like some more information on. Thank you.
Mayor, can I just make a comment that might help clarify a little bit, just very, very briefly? So
yes.
The ordinance is specific to real property and the leasing thereof. There is language about confidential informants. There's also language about the confidentiality of investigations. What I would like to say, and forgive me for not providing this information earlier, is that we're trying to, I guess the way I look at it is trying to future-proof the organization, in that we have victims of crime, we have witnesses who've seen horrific things that at time cannot be within the city, cannot be where they're at. It's not a safe place. The passage of this ordinance is really at the heart of the matter of what we're trying to be able to do in those cases. There's also parts built into it, absolutely, about the criminal nexus, neighborhoods, drug house complaints, specific to long, ongoing investigations of criminality that's happening throughout our city. But I do not want the folks to get sidetracked completely on the belief that this is about confidential informants only. The driver of this has been cases that we're working on, long-term investigations that involve serious crime against people in this community, where we need to actually be able to find places for folks to go that are safe. Now, as far as frequency, I think that's another part that should be understood. I have 23 and a half years of a police officer here, doing a lot of those, doing gang investigations, drug investigations, robbery investigations through the city. This is not something that we have to use very often. A long-term strategy, most cases, you know, you can work through in a short amount of time. I'm simply trying to provide access so that when we do have the ability to work a long-term case, that we have able to do it in a way that is clear, concise, expedient, safe, and also saves money. If I were to do a long-term lease at a long-term stay location, it may cost me $1,500 a month. If I do a daily rate for somebody, for instance, it could cost me up to $100 a day. And if you do the math on that very quickly, you realize $3,000 versus $1,500. And so that is also part of that, and it's sustainable. Again, very few times do we need this type of resource for a long-term investigation. I'm simply trying and asking for the ability to do it when it's necessary.
Commissioner,
could you?
I'm going to ask people, please, to not disrupt the questions. Go ahead.
I believe you said earlier that there's a cumbersome process you have to go through in order to do a long-term lease presently.
Correct.
Can you walk me through that?
Well, I'm probably not going to be as good as the people that do it day-to-day, but what I understand is that the ability to enter into lease agreements through the city has to be approved for by the Director of Internal Business Services, which means it has to go through the Police Bureau chain of command, through their people that do the actual work of the filing of the contracts, et cetera, and then finally signed off. The concern with that is even you know, like, again, anytime we have an investigation, the fewer people that know about what that investigation is, the better it is. And for people's safety, and I say that with all seriousness, we try to be very...
Excuse me. Please do not disrupt
the testimony.
We try
to take that into account for victims and for witnesses, et cetera. So the fewer people that have access and hands on to that... In the Bureau, we deal with confidentiality, you know, all the time. We're used to that. And it's not uncommon for things, once they leave the building, for folks inadvertently maybe to discuss something that they have no idea of the implications of it, but that could be, you know, heard or listened to by somebody who might have that information and use that in a different way. We have had investigations that have been compromised, and that's always a concern of mine.
Could you give me an estimate of how many of these rentals you might need on an annual basis?
One,
I realize it would vary.
Probably one or two.
And
it,
how
like
many,
I said, very, very, very little.
And how many times have investigations been compromised due to having to go through that process?
Commissioner, I can't specifically say they've been compromised by going through a long-term lease process. I can say that we've had several, you know, over my career, obviously, cases, criminal cases that have been compromised because of information that was released either inadvertently or purposefully that have compromised investigations.
But not necessarily related to a lease.
No, but okay. As I started looking at the process, the amount of people, the eyes of the email strings, et cetera, trying to figure out how to do this, it became very aware to me as the in charge of the criminal investigations for the city that a lot of people would have access to this information, and we're trying to eliminate that.
So who has ultimate oversight of how many leases there are and for what purposes they're being used, whether it's for undercover investigation or housing informants or housing victims?
Well, if this ordinance is passed, it would ultimately would go to our chief of police. He would be the signer that would allow it. Being that we report to the mayor, I would imagine the mayor would have a say in that. It would be, can be comprised, apprised of any of those situations as necessary.
So given the rarity of these situations, I'd like somebody to offer up an amendment, please.
I offer up an amendment, Mayor, excuse me. I would offer an amendment that simply states...
Is your mic on?
Let me pull up the ordinance. I offer an amendment... Mayor, that would be at the under the now therefore direct sub A, the amendment is as follows: that the chief of police insert with the approval of the mayor, comma, is authorized to execute lease agreements, blah blah blah.
And I'll second that for purposes of discussion. Is there any further discussion on the amendment? Could you call the roll on the amendment, please?
Fish.
Aye.
Udaly.
I have questions and
excuse me. Excuse me. Please do not do that again. I have repeatedly warned you. Please do not do it again, or I will ask you to leave. Thank you.
This is the problem with what is happening in this room. We can't ask more questions of experts and city employees. We can't ask more questions of community members, and we're not being allowed to deliberate. And what that gets you guys is weaker policymaking than we could be delivering. So what I have to say is that I have questions and concerns that can't be addressed today. I'm voting no on the amendment, and I would vote no on this ordinance.
Very good. So are there any further questions for the commander? If not, I'll carry it over.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry, of course.
Fritz. I will vote for the amendment.
Thanks.
I'm not ready to vote for the whole thing, so we could either take the emergency off or pass. Probably should do that. But anyway, yes, aye on this amendment. Thank
Wheeler.
You, Commissioner Fish.
Aye. The amendment is adopted. Commissioner, do you want to make another...
This matter now, Mayor, is set over till next week.
That's correct.
So, colleagues, Commissioner Saltzman is now gone and will not be...
Is your mic on?
Sorry.
Commissioner Saltzman has now left and will not be joining us this afternoon. We've got five items that are second readings. I have a conflict I have to go to shortly. May I respectfully propose that we take up the seconds and we hold Commissioner Udale, we hold 382 for the afternoon, and I would suggest we take it up at 3:30 at the end of our afternoon session, and so that would be my request.
I don't have any objection? Does anybody else have any objection to that?
Sounds good.
Yeah,
very good.
I just wanted to clarify, Mayor, your preference is to carry this over as an emergency ordinance or to take the emergency off?
The impact is the same, so let's carry it over as an emergency ordinance. Obviously, the public testimony record is closed on it. We will move 382 off the agenda.
But move it to the afternoon.
Correct.
After the 3 o'clock time certain.
That would be great. After the time certain, and with that, Carla, could you take up 383, please?
Accept a grant in the amount of $1 million from Oregon Department of Transportation for the regional signal system concept of operations and implementation.
This is a second reading. Call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The grant's accepted. Next item, please.
384, authorize a purchase order with Pierce Manufacturing, Inc. for the purchase of 3 emergency response apparatus for a total not to exceed amount of $2 million.
This is a second reading. Vote only. Please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The purchase order is adopted. Next item, please.
385, amend marijuana business regulations, definition of wholesaler, and use of temporary certificate of occupancy.
Second reading, vote only. Call the roll, please.
Fish.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The definition has been changed, or amended, sorry. And next item, please.
386, assess property for sidewalk repair for the Portland Bureau of Transportation.
Call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The assessment is adopted. Next item, please.
387, amend independent police review code to revise filing process, investigation, and appeal provisions of complaints and complaints of police officer misconduct.
Second reading, vote only. Please call the roll.
Excuse me, at the end of the last, at the public hearing, Commissioner Udaly had said that she might be bringing in amendments. I just want to clarify if you're asking for that.
I am actually not asking for that today after receiving a lot of feedback from a variety of people and groups last week. My office reviewed all the testimony, both written and oral, to clarify the ways in which we could suggest meaningful change to the code that meets the needs of the community and our legal mandates. It became clear to us that suggesting changes in a piecemeal fashion may end up doing more harm than good, and I understand that the auditor's office will be bringing these code changes to us over time. But I think it would be beneficial to the council to engage in a broader conversation about the overarching plan and how this plan supports the DOJ settlement, as well as how we can incorporate the recommendations of stakeholder groups. In that light, I will support the changes and amendments as proposed today thus far, but will be requesting a work session to get clarity on how to engage moving forward.
Good idea.
I think that IPR has immense potential to be a true asset to the city and the community, and I want to make sure that we as a council understand it completely before making decisions that may or may not help move it in the right direction.
And Mayor, could I please clarify that there was a discussion last week where you and the auditor said that you would convene such a process, so we don't need to put that as a formal amendment.
That's correct.
And indeed,
and the auditor is here, and that's a head nod, yes, that she and I are in agreement on.
And that was in conjunction with considering or reconvening the stakeholders committee. Is that correct?
I'm sorry.
That's in conjunction with reconvening the stakeholders committee, who've been doing some work. They asked for another process to provide further amendments.
I will leave that up to the auditor, since this is her code revision. But
so my concern is that, as I said last week, this is my ninth year on the council. We continually put things off in terms of changes to the independent police review, and a little while ago, we had that appeal at council where, for the first time I've been able to see, we actually got a timeline of when things went through the different stages of the review. And my concern is that there's a lot of talk about whether the Citizens Review Committee is responsible for delays and for their process on appeals. The fact of the matter is, at least in that case, that it was not the CRC that delayed things. It didn't get through the process correctly. So I'm very concerned about accountability of the independent police review, because that we depend on that in order to be able to have more confidence that investigations internally have been done correctly.
Mayor, may I be heard on this?
Please.
So I appreciate the concerns raised by my colleagues, and I share a number of the concerns. And I have had a meeting with the very able chair of the CRC, who has also shared a number of her concerns. The matter before us addresses the issues that were brought by the auditor. I'm going to second the request made by Commissioner Udaly that we have a work session where we have our key advisors at the table. And I would like to have a comprehensive understanding about what's next, what's the timeline, and an opportunity for my colleagues to raise these questions. I'm not prepared to address them today because I would like the chance to hear from the leadership of those bodies, and I would like to hear from the auditor and the mayor as to how they wish to proceed at a work session.
Thank you for stating the intent of the council. I agree with that.
Thank you.
Sorry. Very good.
So we'll take a vote.
Call the roll.
Fish.
Mayor and colleagues, I thought the hearing we had on this issue was enormously helpful. And based on the testimony, I was persuaded, along with my colleagues, that we should not change the public comment period to after a vote. And I understand that there have been some issues raised by our legal team about potential risks. I was persuaded that those were outweighed by the public interest in having people have a chance to speak to the CRC. And I also think that the risk can be cured by the CRC chair reading a statement that effectively reminds everybody that anything outside the record is not evidentiary. I do think it's important that people have the chance to speak to the CRC. And this is an issue where we had unanimous testimony, but I particularly appreciated hearing from the chair of the CRC, from Dan Handelman and Copwatch, and a number of other advocates, who I think made a very strong case that we should not change this. And so respectfully, I disagree with the order on that point. And on balance, I'm going to support this package. Aye.
Udaly.
I agree with Commissioner Fish. Last week's conversation around these amendments was immensely helpful and one of the most productive ones I've gotten to participate in since joining council. While I have deep respect for the auditor's office and I did not take the input of the city attorneys lightly, I'm deferring to the CRC in this matter and supporting their desire to include testimony, public testimony, before a ruling. Aye.
Fritz.
I believe we're at a pivotal stage here with what's happening with the Department of Justice and the federal mandates. We need to show that we are going to continue to improve the complaint process and its processing and continue to seek ways to be more open and transparent to the extent possible. Appreciate the amendments. I certainly appreciated the public testimony, which did make a major change in the policy. Not only did we affirm that public testimony should take place before the vote, we put it into the code, so it's very clear moving forwards. So this does strengthen the process, and with the work session that's been promised, I hope that we will hear from League of Women Voters of Portland, Portland Cop Watch, and others as far as how do we get past this continually coming back with what are framed as minor changes and don't get to the bigger substantive issues, which have been going at least since 2010. And I want the council to show that we are going to do the right thing and improve the process, whether or not the settlement agreement is being enforced by the Department of Justice. So I know that, Mayor Wheeler, that's one of your primary purposes of running for mayor and of taking this huge task on behalf of the city, and I appreciate all the work you do to that end. I'm here to help as much as I can. I also want to thank Christina Nieves on my staff, who goes to many of the community meetings and who has helped me analyze what was being proposed here and what still needs to be fixed after this. Aye.
Wheeler.
I want to thank Auditor Caballero and Constantine, the director of IPR, for their hard work. And I know the auditor's here, and I think Constantine is behind one of these many columns. It's been a long haul, and I think, as my colleagues have said, the work isn't done yet. And I think you'd be the first to admit that this is a process that will continue to be improved over time. And we have lots of different factors coming into play here, different stakeholders, including the Department of Justice, which is not a trivial stakeholder in this overall process. But I really appreciate the conversation we had last week. And the public input, I thought, was great. And I learned a lot from the conversation that I had with my colleagues. And I feel like, frankly, whereas we might have moved a little bit off of the target set by the auditor and her team, I actually feel like we landed in a really good place. I will take up the challenge put forth by my colleagues to schedule a work session with the stakeholders, but I want to caution us at the same time. IPR is inherently designed to be independent from this city council and independent from the police commissioner, and that is why it is in the auditor's office. So I want to continue that engagement, but I want to do it with full partnership from the director of IPR and from the auditor to make sure that in the process we're not inadvertently usurping that independence. If anything, I'd like to see is error on the side of strengthening that independence. But I think we landed in a really good spot, and I appreciate everybody's efforts on this. So I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. And we are adjourned until
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. See you then.
Did you check on the issue of the grievance?